No, it wasn't me, I didn't drive.
What did you do, Rob?
Good morning. Good morning, County Board Supervisors. November 12th, 2019, are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
I have none. Department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
I'm just glad this cold weather waited for this week and not last week. But just have the canvas later on in the meeting, and that's all I have to report.
Thanks, Terry. Rodney Buesner, Maintenance.
Good morning. Just to remind everybody, when we get some weather like we had, it'll kind of drop, or mellow a little bit during the day and then freeze back up at night, so just be careful, like in between cars, parking lots and whatnot, so some of that will melt and re-freeze, but other than that, we're trying to keep on top of the weather and business is normal.
Good luck. Thanks, Rodney.
All right, thank you.
Janelle Nellie Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We sent the November delinquent notices out last week, so getting some payments to roll in, but other than that, we're just keeping busy.
Okay, thank you. Krista Pogemiller, Focal Health.
Good morning. Well, same thing, we're keeping busy. We did have a Board of Health meeting last week that I'm sure Bob will talk about. One of the things that the Board of Health is talking about is doing a vaping ordinance to present to the board.
Thanks, Krista. Mike Johnstone, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Good morning, Tom. Interesting week last week, obviously, pretty busy again. We are working closely with DCI, County Attorney's Office, and working through this situation. There should be more information out later this week in regard to that. And we continue on and do what we do every day. So trying to make this a safer place to live for everybody.
So when you say you were pretty busy last week, you had a lot of people applying for your free residencies?
Yeah, that's right. Really can't say enough about the people that work for me and their ability to stand up and do what we do every day in these very difficult situations. Very proud of those involved and the way they handled themselves in that situation.
So are we.
And I'm also, I would say, and the other part of it people don't understand is it puts a great deal of stress on our families. Phone calls have to be made, explanations have to be made to our spouses and our families when these things happen. Of course, they're very grateful that we all come home safe at night. But these things weigh heavy on everybody. These aren't decisions we make lightly. However, you know, when my officers are fired upon, they will fire back, and they will fire back a lot. That's what we do. We're not going to allow that to happen. So, we're working through that. Thank
That's
you.
Good. Used to be an old television show called Hill Street Blues, probably most people don't remember. And the sergeant, every shift, he'd say, be careful out there. So you three remember that. So we're happy for you. So
thank
we're
you.
Proud of you. Thank you.
That was a good show.
Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. I'd like to thank Rodney and his crew. We've got a lot of sidewalks and everything that they plow every time the snow flies, and we sure appreciate it because there's the residential care facility, there's the crisis home, there's the new drop-in services, recovery center, and then there's our office. So there's just a lot of sidewalks back there and a lot of people, you know, walking them, so appreciate all their help. The other thing is I heard from Brian, the CEO of our region, that Bob Lincoln's region, which is the region in blue that has a lot of counties to it, has privatized or is in the process of privatizing their region, so not being county employees anymore, but being region employees. So that's something different that I hadn't heard before from any other region. So I guess they're going to keep their IFRS somehow, but they're somehow region employees. They're working on that anyway. So
they will be region employees.
Yeah, that's what Ryan was telling me. So I That's a big region doing that, so we'll have to see what happens with all that.
It doesn't take in Polk County, does it?
No, nope. It's a lot of small counties, but it's a lot of them, you know, all the blue ones, so.
Polk County has their own region.
Yeah, they have their own region, yeah.
They're special. So what's the advantage?
I don't know, you know, I just heard this recently, and I really don't know, because there's a lot of us who do dual roles. We're, you know, like my salary is 80% from the region, but 20% from general assistance, being the director over, being a department head and director, and so you go to safety meetings and different things for the county too. Well, so I don't know how they do all those dual role positions, how they figure all that out, so. I'm just reporting it, I don't know.
That's interesting.
What's gonna happen with it.
It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kim.
Yep, thanks.
Colin Durst, IT.
Good morning, just keeping busy like always, trying to finish up some of our computer upgrades and that before the end of the year, but other than that, nothing really new to report, so.
Des comes, she's gonna do something with software tomorrow.
Yeah. She's gonna be switching over here pretty soon, their CAD application, over to Zetron as part of that, that state grant or whatever.
There's no need us uninformed being there, is there?
What's that, sorry?
There's no need us uninformed being there.
Probably not. They're gonna go over some of their other software that they offer that same company for their record management software, because we're looking to, you know, kind of move on past what we have, which is still with Shieldware. But since most of us are gonna be there tomorrow, they're gonna go ahead and show off their other software and stuff, so.
So the police departments be there? Ambulance?
Yeah. She sent it out to quite a few folk. I'm not sure who else is gonna be there.
Big list.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're gonna go there tomorrow and criticize it and see what we like, so.
I'll stay away, that way I won't open my mouth and look stupid.
Thanks, Colin.
Yep.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Staying busy, I want to thank Colin. We are upgrading the attorneys from the Surface Pros to laptops. We've been struggling with the Surface Pros being able to do what we need them to do, where we need them to do them. So we found some money in the budget to at least upgrade the attorneys and the victim witness coordinators to laptops. So Colin's been working pretty steadily on that all week. I was the first one to get mine, and I love it, so thank you very, very much. I hated the Surface Pro. It was just annoying and couldn't do what we needed it to do. So thank you very much for taking care of that. Otherwise, we're just staying busy. The OIS portion, officer-involved shooting portion of the incident last week, I've already referred to the Attorney General's office per our policy. They have agreed to take it. So while we may be handling anything other things that happen arise out of it, the Attorney General's Area Prosecution Division will be handling the review of the officer-involved shooting portion. Other than that, we're just staying busy and trying to stay warm.
Good luck on both counts.
Well, this will be the part where Rodney gets really, really busy with us, because if half of our building is comfortable, the other half is freezing, and if you make the other half comfortable, the other half is sweating. So I think we went through it in April. We'll go through it again now. I've already heard the complaints, just to warn you. So it's just a challenge when the weather converts for us over in our buildings.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Just a couple things. The REAP assembly, so REAP is Resource Enhancement and Protection. It's a state program, grant program that funds conservation, historic preservation, a lot of stuff. It's a 30-year-old program. Biannually, they have their assemblies, and so this is the public input session basically regarding the program. So that is November 20th at Starscape Nature Center, starting at 6 o'clock. It is open to the public. We ask anybody that's interested in this program to come and share your thoughts and learn about the program. This is kind of an important one. REAP, as per state code, sunsets in 2021, and there's been no action by the legislature to preserve that program. It's been one of the most effective conservation preservation programs the state's ever seen. It's funded by allocations through gaming revenues and license plate sales, those wildlife license plates you can buy downstairs. Anybody that can come and give their two cents. We'd like to see a big showing for that. And then secondly, we do have a board member term expiration this year. And as per previous years, so Kathy Ziegler is at the end of her second full term. And it's an unwritten policy that our board has kind of followed, that after two full terms, board member steps aside and lets somebody else come in. However, she has given the caveat that, you know, if we don't get applications like we have in the past, where we just haven't gotten any applications, where, you know, she's willing to re-up if we needed her to. But anyway, we would like to see another woman apply to maintain gender balance within the board there. And so as I have it set up, and it is an appointment by the supervisors, applications will come to the auditor's office until November 26th, and then at the December 3rd meeting, and this is the same kind of schedule that we followed in previous years, the December 3rd meeting, the board here will make the appointment, and then that way, at our December 4th board meeting, we'll know who our new board member is, and they can come meet the board if they so choose. Their first actual serving term will be the January meeting of next year, which will be probably January 7th, because the first falls on a Wednesday, so we'll probably just push our board meeting back a week. So that's kind of the process for that. All of the application instructions and everything are online on the county's website. So other than that, just staying warm and getting ready to kind of move indoors and do some of that indoor work that we always try to start getting done through the winter.
The board also accepted, expected to go along with the chip plant and their purchase of minerals underneath more of the area.
Yeah, we talked about that at our field tour, working through that process now, getting all agreement in place. So my board this last Wednesday accepted the agreement, and so now we're getting the abstract done up. We're getting all of that background work, and then eventually that'll come to the board here for the public hearing like we did before.
Is that still 20 acres or?
This one's 40.
40 acres?
Yep, so it's a full 40, same rate and everything. The agreement basically reads identical to the previous one, except the legal description changes and then the acreage and the price. So that'll, I don't know. They say it'll probably take about 4 weeks, so 3 weeks now, to get the abstract updated and stuff like that. The original abstract for this was last seen in 1975, it's been a bit of a historic research into hunting that down, but I'm working with the abstract company to get that updated. We'll get one drawn up specific for the mineral rights like we did on the previous one. So it's kind of a long, drawn-out background process. That's it.
I remember 1975.
I do not.
Brian Carter, Secondary Road.
I don't remember it either. But, first things first, thanks to our guys. They came in on their day off and plowed snow and dealt with ice. It's kind of ugly there first thing Monday morning. It wasn't too bad, and then over about an hour the temperature dropped, and what was just kind of wet went to being pretty much just a sheet of ice in places. So guys ran till probably middle afternoon, got it all pretty well cleaned up and certainly safely drivable. So thanks and credit to them for working those hours. The Sperry Bridge that I've been saying for way too long is closed is now open. They got the guardrail up yesterday and went ahead and opened it. There's still some signs up and such. There's still some work, but or not minor work, I should say, more cleanup type stuff that they need to do, but they were running out of working days, so they're far more motivated to let traffic through. That's a good thing. Sometime in the future, we'll slip you guys up there and take a look at it. But the site did shape up pretty well, good project. It took a little longer than we would prefer, but snowed twice now in the process of that, so that doesn't help things. The grant that you guys signed for us to submit, we did get that, the signed grant, so which was expected. So that was $10,000 that we'll use to purchase signs. And then the guys were out last week doing some milling. So you've been on 99, 406, a couple places. We did take some bumps out. It kind of creates a few other issues. You kind of tend to open up some potholes when you mill those, but it should be some areas that ride quite a bit better now than they did. That takes a lot of manpower to make that happen, because you're not only running the mill, but you gotta have traffic control and stuff like that. So finally got to that, and we have a little bit more we'd like to do, but we're just gonna play the weather game and see how things go. So, and hopefully get back to ditching. We guys are ditching on South Curry Grove right now, and get out of there after weather warms up, and do that for two or three more days and move on to the next site. So still trying to act like it's fall. And we'll just keep doing that until it permanently freezes us out. So.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Jerry Blaster, land use.
We have one item on the agenda for today. Then this Thursday we have a zoning commission meeting at their office in West Burlington. We got one preliminary plat on the agenda, and we're also going to do an initial review of some of our the issues we've encountered with the land use ordinances. So we're going to start discussions for the updates. Right now, we still have two vacant positions on that commission, although we have one person in mind for one of those who is going to planning on attending this week's meetings to get a feel for the proceedings before he decides to commit to anything. And then we have another person we've spoken to about the other position, but we've yet to meet with them and discuss that further. So it's gradually making progress there. Apart from that, I don't have anything to report.
Maybe we should have treats.
What?
Maybe we should have treats at the meeting. Maybe that for members.
Yeah, I'll bring them out of the woodwork.
Norris could make treats.
I didn't miss anyone. Thank you, Jared. Correspondence. I have none.
I have
either of you gentlemen. We'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have the engineer's report, the bid results for North Gear Avenue, paving and patching.
So we bid, I didn't mention it, nice thing, because I knew we had this on here. We bid the North Gear paving project last Thursday, and got very good bids. This is just a bid summary. I will have contracts hopefully next Tuesday, but they have to get their insurance paperwork and stuff together. So it didn't work out for today. Three bidders. Good competition. The engineer's estimate was 1.4 million, and the low bid was 1.1 and change. So, nothing for you to approve today, like I said, but just wanted to provide the information, as you can see. And I would note that Streb Construction, who was the second bidder, was the low bidder on our Iowa City Road project, and Jones was the second low. So they kind of switched spots on this project, those are really good numbers. Those are, I mean, because we modified our estimate a little bit a couple months ago, just to kind of adjust to the competition we expected to see. But obviously, we have great competition right now in this area for construction projects, which is in no small part due to DOT's projects they have ongoing coming up this summer. So we'll take advantage of that and probably have a work session with you maybe next week ahead of the budget session, but and kind of just discuss the future, just projects like we've been talking before. So
that's more or less a mile?
It's just a shade under a mile, about 9/10, give or take. We stop, it runs from not quite the bridge, but right basically at the bridge all the way up, but it doesn't go quite to city limits because there's a crossroad culvert that, under our initial estimating, just simply wasn't in our budget, honestly. So, and there's other issues there, right-of-way-wise and stuff, so we stop short of that. We're gonna do some patching. There is some pavement there to deal with, so we'll do a little patching to help the pavement out, but we didn't want to invest in a full new slab on top of a culvert that we feel needs to be replaced eventually. So Gear is a tough place to work. There's a ton of traffic out there, and I think anybody that's from that area knows that, but when you go and shut their road off, there's a lot of unhappiness So it'll be a challenging project, just with the amount of traffic, if not beyond, so. But it should be a good project, and anybody that's driven it knows that it is desperately needed.
You got a timeline on it?
It should start next April.
Next April, okay.
Yeah, or this April coming up, so. I think we estimate, we hope for it to be done in early June, or well, probably late June, early July, somewhere in that area, so.
Couple, 3 months?
Yeah, roughly.
Okay.
So, we look forward to it. That's a stretch of road that really needed to be done probably 2 years ago, and it's a great example of how sometime county budgets don't line up with the needs, so.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
We have a resolution and final plat for the Long Isle subdivision. I suspect this is Jerry.
Seem to have a spate of subdivisions where the person uses their full name in the title, which I've never seemed to have encountered before. Anyway, so we have a one lot subdivision located in Tama Township at the intersection of Tama Road at 113th Street. The result in one lot with 4.65 acres. So presently the land is occupied, there is an unoccupied older dwelling on the property, and the purpose of the subdivision is to split that house off from the surrounding farm ground. The same person owns a large chunk of farmland in the vicinity, so there's already a buyer set to purchase that property and reoccupy the house. So the subdivision was within the 2 mile area of Burlington. In fact, it's probably within a few hundred feet of the city limits of Burlington. So that was presented to the city, and the council voted to approve that back on October 21st. No issues were encountered there. In terms of our departmental review, initially, there was an issue discovered with the legal description on the plat that has since been resolved. Secondary roads, there was a comment that they would need to use the existing driveway off of 113th Street, which is what we understand is what was intended anyway, the current driveway to access the property. We did have a bit of a delay with this one related to a comment from the health department. Which the county sanitarian reviewed the site and not found a record of a existing septic system serving the property. And following a further review and outreach to the buyer, determined that is in fact the case and that there would need to be a new system installed. So there's a delay. We initially had this on the agenda the week before, but in the time since, they've had a chance to inspect the site, do a test to determine the appropriate system to be installed to serve that residence, and a permit has been filed by the buyer of the property. So that's set to be installed this coming spring. So the county sanitarian has signed off on the subdivision as a result, and so we have everything we need in terms of our review process, and we recommend approval of the Lau subdivision as submitted.
Move to approve.
Second.
Jerry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Maybe
we get the inquiry out tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have personnel actions. We have four for the correctional center. We have an Alexis Abney, full-time correctional officers, 77.11 hours of unpaid time. We have another personnel action for Alexis Abney, an 18-month step increase. The previous rate was $39,522.03 a year. The new rate is $40,396.34 a year. Curtis Kenny, full-time correctional officer, 77.11 hours of unpaid time. And Angela Schertz, a full-time correctional officer, a 24-month step increase. Previous rate was $40,396.34. The new rate is $41,191.09 a year.
Move approval, all four.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have reports. We have the clerk of courts records report of fees collected in October 2019. We have the recorder's report of fees collected for October 2019. And the general assistance monthly report for October 2019. These reports will be on file in the auditor's office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of November 5th, 2019.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We need to canvass the last week's city school election results.
One more absentee ballot in after the election, and that was for the Mediapolis School District. No write-ins or anything, so it just added one more vote to the people that were on the ballot. And what it comes down to is you've got the results there. For Burlington City Council member, the top two candidates and winners will be Kreitzer and Maupin. And for Danville Mayor, of course, Jerry Strauss, Danville City Council, Dustin Fernal, Joe Huff, and Aaron Sperry. Mediapolis Mayor is Thomas Young. Mediapolis City Council is Tim Licko and Randy Doyle. Middletown Mayor is Eric Gerst. Middletown Council Member, the top three was Earl Martin, Orrin Asmus, and Shannon Etkin. West Burlington Mayor is Hans Trossel. West Burlington City Council is Andy Crowner, Therese Lees, Kathleen Christie. Burlington Community School District, the top four is Deborah Hedeberg, Annika McVeigh, Nancy Holzen, and Joel Serene. And Danville Community School District, the top three is Eisman, Bauer, and Langdon. They did have a pretty good write-in candidate on there, but she just missed out by seven votes for her write-in, her write-in campaign. Mediapolis Community School District, the top three was Aaron Snedler, Tony Coates, and Leah Kroll, and they had three candidates, write-in candidates, and the person that ended up with that fourth position is Tim Dermillion as a write-in. He got 82. West Burlington Independent School District, we got Michael Davis, Andrea Bowen, and Dan Hockett. And then, of course, we have our miscellaneous school districts. Fort Madison, because they changed the rules on us, and anybody that lives in this county, no matter what school district you live in, you vote in this county. So we had a few on there for Fort Madison. You will sign those. I'll send that off to Lee County, and they'll do their second-tier canvass next week. And that's the same as Morning Sun, which we didn't have any voters on that one. New London, we had a few for that one. And Wapello, we didn't have anybody vote for that one. Winfield, Mount Union, we didn't have anybody vote. We still had provided ballots, but we didn't have any voters. And Southeastern Community College, for Director District 1 here, Joe Johnson, which we have very few in Director District 1 in our county, and Director District 4, which we have quite a few, and that would be Moody Nicolosi. Always butcher his name. But, and that's the results of all of those. Next week, we will have our Tier 2 canvas, and that is for Danville and Mediapolis and the college. Because since Mediapolis has voters up in Loisa County, we got to get their abstracts, and then we combine the two, and then we'll do their final canvas, and we do the same thing for Danville. And then, of course, Southeastern Community College.
So these totals, like for Danville, don't include the Henry counties?
No, they do not. The school district does not include Henry County.
Could change, but probably won't.
Probably won't. I'll find out when I get their abstracts. I haven't heard anything.
One person, I think I saw in the paper.
Yeah. And there, you know, whoever voted over in those counties might be the same as what we had, very small turnouts for all the other school districts, even though we have that. Provide ballots and do all the testing. We spend more time and probably money on that than anybody that comes to vote, but we still, that's the way they changed it, so we have to provide it.
Does it save money over having two separate elections, do you think, with the cost?
I don't know, because the schools were only open from noon to 8, and now they have to be open from 7 a.m. to 8. You know, a lot of them are going to, especially in the cities, they're going to share those poll workers, but then just like Burlington, we only had 3 precincts open for their cities and their school elections, and now we have to have all 9 of them open. And then plus Flint River, and every township has multiple school districts, just like Flint River has Burlington, Danville, Mediapolis. Oh gosh, I think there was 5 different ballots, well, because we have Middletown in there too. And then just like Pleasant Grove and Washington Townships, that's where Winfield, Mount Union, and New London, and Danville, and Mediapolis, and Morning Sun, so.
When I went to vote, I asked the poll workers. It was those 3 and me there.
Mm-hmm.
anyway, and they said, no, working just fine, fine.
Yeah, I'm sure for them, you know, they were pretty busy because they're used to the cities and doing the school separately, but having all the precincts open, just like Pleasant Grove, Washington Township, I think I'd have to look back, but I think they might have had 29 voters the whole day, so that makes it for a long day.
Yeah, the only thing they really suggested was if we wanted to save money was take some of those hours off of them.
Well, you guys can't do that. I have to talk to the legislators.
I know.
About that.
Well,
so.
We will be talking to them, so we have several little issues we need to talk to them about.
Yeah. So anyway, that is the final results of what happened in our county anyway. And so that, like I said, next week then you'll have your second tier for the other 3, the 2 school districts and the college.
Barry, do you have a turnout by precinct report, voter turnout by precinct?
That other extra that I gave you?
This?
That long one should have by precinct in that.
Okay, I don't know if it had like the total number.
This report came off of the state's website, and it's a little bit different than the one that our election computers generate. So
okay.
I'll get that one for you too.
Thank you.
So we need a motion to accept this.
Yeah.
I make a motion to accept the canvas.
I second that. With the note that the election could change, but it's final.
You are approving all of the results for the cities and what we have at this
inside
time.
Inside Des Moines County.
Yep, inside Des Moines County.
Yeah. Okay.
Terry?
Nope. So, Jim, you first?
Yes.
Motion first?
Yes.
Okay. Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Is there any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I didn't have a meeting last week.
I had a couple, conservation and health. So, and they were talking, they had a demonstration in on the vaping and tobacco use, and some of the problems with the vaping has come up is not necessarily the first capsules or whatever it is you put in them, but what they're adding to them now. The vitamin E, I believe.
Yep, and the THC.
Is what they're finding in a lot of it, and some of us, I'm getting out of newspapers, I think, or articles I read. It's quite an issue, and Lisa left, so I wanted to see her opinion on some of this stuff. But they're going to ask for a work session and try to explain it. But most of the counties are not trying to put through an ordinance; they're putting through a
positioning statement. So Story County did an ordinance. Johnson County has just done a positioning statement, their Board of Health, and then Washington County is also doing a positioning statement. I think they're really trying to address, the last numbers they had from the CDC was there was 2,051 illnesses with 39 deaths, and that was like in the beginning of November. And I think their Board of Health is just trying to figure out what can they do to help protect the community.
Yeah, kind of makes you wonder why somebody would do that. Of course, we wondered that about meth for.
Aren't those the illegal cartridges, the THC cartridges that are illegal with the vitamin E?
Well, that's part of it.
I mean, they're already illegal.
Well, I think one of the things is people are buying those from not legal sources or not normal sources. I don't think they're finding all of those is the case, but I think they're finding a large number of them.
Yeah,
but they had Deb Patterson from ads was there, and it was very interesting.
CDC came out with something. They said that they found the same thing in most of the problems, and it goes back to this vitamin E.
Yeah.
That they put in there to.
So anyway, you may have that coming up work session.
Okay.
And then I did conservation. Chris and his board. You heard most of that.
My problem with something like that, trying to put it where it's, if you have something like that, then something should be done at the state level if it's this big a deal.
Well, evidently everybody else is thinking kind of along that line too. They're coming with position papers instead of ordinances.
We'll get a chance to discuss this when they come forward with the work session.
That's right.
I attended the meeting of the Medical Assistance Advisory Council. We've got an update on the integration of Iowa Total Care, the new MCO managed care organization into the state. They replaced United Healthcare, and we got the new MCO. Iowa Medicaid Enterprise puts out the performance data every quarter on the managed care organizations, all the statistics you're interested in. That was all that I had. Public input. Anybody from the public would like to address the board?
Before you adjourn, why don't you have the sheriff introduce his guest? I see we're going to do it in a work session, but I don't want everybody getting out of here first.
Sure. I have Deputy Dylan Baird and Sergeant Kevin Glendenning. Those that don't know these two guys. So, and Dylan will be the handler for our new canine.
Well, we don't have the dog.
Not
you
yet.
Bring a dog with you, why not?
We're getting close.
That's what we're here to talk about.
There's anybody who would like to address the board, please stand and give your name and address for the record. Seeing no one rise with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
And we have a work session with the Sheriff's Department employees and regarding the canine unit and about 5 minutes.